Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, August the 3rd, 2014.
Well, as we begin this morning, I hope that you'll join with us as we worship the Lord in song. In a few minutes, Rodney Woods is going to be opening the Word in Psalm 27. And I'm just thinking about the greatness of our God this morning as we sing and worship together in song. Would you stand with me as we begin? I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the blowing seas abroad, that built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the heavens. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the
God, we do thank you
that we can come and worship you. We're thankful that you're our shield. You're our portion. God, you're all that we need. And we thank you for that, our very present help in time of need. God, as the choir shares, and as we open your word this morning, help us to trust you, to feel your presence, and to know that you're with us, and you're going to lead us always, always. Amen. You may be seated.
In his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand, kings and nations tremble at his voice, all creation rises to
And all the church said, amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time. This is the moment in our morning worship service where we worship in giving. If you are a visitor here with us this morning, we are glad that you're here and you feel no pressure to have to participate in that. We just want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here. Let me pray for us. Oh, Lord, to know that as your church gathers, it is a foretaste of heaven one day. Lord, to anticipate your glory and your praise without the entrapments of our physical humanity in this broken world that we live in, Lord, it just fills us with wonder and it gives us an anticipation. And Lord, while we're here and as you have us here, even in this moment, we want to worship you in giving. Jesus, that we would see your glory shown, your kingdom furthered, and we want to participate in that, both locally and globally. We love you. We recognize that all that we have belongs to you. Our next breath is a gift from you. And so we give back what we have been lavished in this morning, and we do it in Jesus' name.
Sing that chorus with me.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
hope that encourages your heart. Thank you, Carmen, wherever you went. Carmen, thank you for playing that. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we dismiss our kids to summer choirs, and you turn around and shake hands with some folks around you and welcome them to our service this morning. We're glad you're before Rodney comes and opens the word. Janet's going to read the scripture for us.
Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail against me to eat up all my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make a melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O Lord, my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
What are you afraid of this morning? The mere fact I asked that question, automatically in your mind, certain things popped in. As soon as I said the word afraid, I can read bubbles in your heads already. There are certain things that are bothering you. There are a list of things that might be afraid of this morning. You know, we made even TV programs out of them, right? Fear Factor. Who would ever think that people would sit around across the United States and watch a television program watching people agonize over their fears? Well, Hollywood figured it out. Matter of fact, if we were honest with ourselves, there are certain things that we're doing even today because we're afraid of certain things. There's a lot of things we're afraid of, right? How about spiders? Matter of fact, I said that word, you're probably already scratching your leg already. Might not even be spiders. It could be something like this in your house. Those things that scurry in the night, that bother us, even men, if we admit it. It might not be an insect or a rodent. It could be just mere flying. Maybe an event that happened that takeoffs and landings, or even just getting to a destination, there's a fear there. I mean, of incidents that happened over the past few weeks or so, we don't know if we really want to fly or drive along those lines. Maybe it's not flying. Maybe it's something else, like a fear of height. Standing on tall buildings, walking out on I-beams, totally suspended, no rope, no nothing. Matter of fact, I won't even go to the amusement park. The mere fact your kids or your grandkids say, let's go to Six Flags, conjures up a fear that happened somewhere in the past that you will no longer do those sort of things. Maybe it's not those items. Maybe it's something even more threatening, an event that happened. Maybe it's an intimate threat. Something in your past that happened that causes you to fear that someone is out to get you. And we've done certain things to protect ourselves, right? Alarms, guns, whatever, mace, whatever it might be. Because we have a fear that someone's going to do something to us and we want to protect ourselves. Maybe it's a loss of a job. You've probably gone through it maybe once or twice. And the fear that you have in your heart, maybe even this past week or this coming week, you don't know if you're going to have a job. Maybe right now you don't even have a job, and you are fearful of the fact that God doesn't know that. Maybe it's something even more personal. Maybe it's the threat of a divorce, a separation. That's a fear as well. And we sit here and we wonder, how am I going to deal with that? Maybe it's something even more personal like death. Not knowing that if I leave here today, where am I going to spend eternity? There are literally millions of people, folks, around the world, even here in religious Chattanooga, who are not sure what's going to happen to them when they die. Now, did you know And I want you to keep that in mind. Did you know that one of the most common commands in Scripture, probably mentioned over 366 times, so if you got something to do this afternoon, go count them. 366 times, God says, fear not. Fear not. That's one for every day and leap year. Okay? So every day you get up, you say to yourself, fear not. However, all those fears I mentioned, and we can stay here this whole afternoon and list fear after fear after fear, they basically fall into three basic categories. One is circumstances. The other might be failures, and the other might be the future. And we want to talk about that, but I want you to get this point here this morning. Our fears really disrupt faith. Think about it. When you're fearful, it's a disruption to your faith, and it becomes the biggest obstacle between you and trusting and obeying God. Let me say that again. When you are fearful, it is a disruption to your faith. And you focus on the obstacle and you tend to forget how to trust and obey God. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is fearless. And I'm not going to use me as illustration because I'm like you. There are days when things just don't go right. But I do want to bring someone forward to you by the name of David. In Psalm 27, I want us to look at a man's life who is no stranger to fear. I want us to look at a man's life who basically has told us how he dealt with fear, how he dealt with circumstances, how he dealt with failures, and how he dealt with the future. Matter of fact, if you're taking notes, it sort of breaks out like this. Very simple for us. We do have fear of circumstances, and I want David to tell us, how did you deal with that, David? We do have fear of failures. How did you deal with that, David? We do have a fear of the future. How did you deal with that, David? You see, whenever I read the scriptures, I'm going there not just to check off a box. I'm going there because I need a prescription from God. Did you hear me? Whenever I go to scriptures, I'm not going there to check off a box. I'm going there because I need something from God. And so this morning, David's going to give us a prescription for you to be able to deal with the fears that you're facing today. And he is no stranger to that. So what David's going to ask us, he's going to put it in such a way, he's going to ask us the question, did you know? Did you know? So here's the first one. Did you know that I dealt with fears of consequences as well? You know when you always get consequences, it's almost like a domino effect in your life? Something happens, and then another event happens, and another event happens, and it seems like it's like dominoes. David, in the first six verses, he's not going to, you know, stop and say, okay, let me talk to you about my situation. He's going to jump immediately and give us his perspective of what's going on. He wants us to examine our fears from God's point of view. And let's look at these verses. David starts out, he says, the Lord is my light. Circle the word my. This is personal to David. The Lord is my salvation. Again, the Lord is my strength or fortress. So in these opening verses, this first words out of David's mouth, he basically describes for us who is God to him. Number one, he says, God is light. As a matter of fact, light is mentioned in Scripture, but here is the very first time in Scripture that God is referenced to as light. Now, why would David start off with that word? You ever been in a situation or a circumstance where everything seems dark? When something just grips you? And David says, what you need to know, that God is light. Whenever I feel closed in, I realize that God is light. He goes on to say, not only is God light to me, but he says, God is my salvation. It's my victory. And then he says, why should I be afraid? God is my light. God is my salvation. What do I have to be afraid of? But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, the Lord is my strength or fortress, whatever your translation might have. He's my fortress. Notice how he states the fact, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? It's one thing to be afraid. It's another thing to tremble because you feel like you don't have any protection at all. But David tells us, let me tell you how I dealt with my circumstances. Number one, I realized that God is light to me. Number two, I realized that God is my salvation. And number three, I realize that God is my strength or stronghold. Right out the gate, David wants us to understand that that's how he sees God. He goes on in the passage, he says, when evil people come upon me and try to devour me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, notice how it's like a contrast. They will stumble and fall. Absence of light, it's like stubbing your toe in the dark. David says, my enemies are going to stumble and fall. Notice what he says, though. A mighty army surrounds me. My heart will not be afraid. Even if they attack me, I will remain confident. Now, there are many folks that would try to pinpoint the event. And I want us to understand, when David is talking to us here, he's always talking to us out of some experience that he's had. And in this instance right now, David probably is an exile. He's a fugitive. And it's probably Saul after him. So while David is on the run, these men were out to kill him. He's wanted in every city. Matter of fact, if you remember back during the time of Moses, they established these cities of refuge, remember, over about Numbers 35? Whenever something happened, a crime event happened, run to the city of refuge and you'll find safety. Not for David, because guess who controlled all the cities? Saul. So in David's mind, he needed protection. That can only come from God. And he goes on to tell us, he says, the one thing I desire and ask of the Lord is to be with him. You can be totally surrounded and still worship God. You can be totally engulfed with everyone out to get you. But David says, I want to remind you, God is light, God is salvation, and God is your strength. I've been there. I know about it. And he unfolds for us. He says, worship and meditate. Think about the Lord. No matter what your circumstance is, no matter what it is, remember who the Lord is. And if we were very, very honest with ourselves, folks, a lot of times we focus on those circumstances. And our circumstances are so big that we think God can never handle them. What David says, there's nothing bigger or greater than our God. Nothing bigger or greater than our God. And so his sole focus for us is on faith. Because it's one or the other, folks. Either you have fear or you have faith. Bottom line. But David tells us, no matter how difficult the circumstance it is, you have to have faith in the Lord. You cannot say, well, you know, I'm just frightened, but, you know, I believe God. What David is telling, if you spend time with God, you meditate on Him, you will have strength. Even if everything around you is going bad. I like what it says. You know, everyone always says, you know, faith is like a leap in the dark. No, basically what we're told, David says, it's actually a stepping into the light. David wants us to know that God knows how to deal with circumstances. No matter what you're thinking about this morning or what circumstance you find yourself in, David wants you to know that God knows how to deal with it. Think about it. You say, well, Rodney, you know, I have this or that. No, folks, no matter how difficult the circumstances, God can handle it. David's here telling, you know, they were after my life. They were enemies, they were foes. They were out to kill me. I was a fugitive on the run. God's light. God's my salvation. God's my strength. In absence of God telling them they can kill David, David knew they couldn't touch him. David had faith. Did you know that? David wants us to know that he understands failure. In the next verses, you know, David's not ignorant of the fact that he's not concerned about himself. Not just himself, but also his men. You remember, it was not just him on the run. It was his men who were also on the run. It's one thing to be concerned about yourself, but when other people are depending upon you, it's a whole new dynamic. When you are, you know, the sole breadwinner of a home, or maybe there's two incomes coming in and one goes away, the family needs you. And like children, we need God. So David gives us and reminds us three things. I mean, as children in God's family, we need three things from God. Verse 7 and 8 is mentioned. David wanted to be heard. Notice what he says. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. David wanted to be heard. You know what the great thing about that is? When you call God, you never get a busy signal. When you call God, it never says, press 1 if it's an emergency, 2 if you need to speak to Peter, or 3 if you need an angel, or 4, call back later. Matter of fact, it's amazing that every last one of us sitting in here are offering prayers up to God, and God does not go crazy because he's listening to multiple prayers. You ever been in your house when everybody's coming and asking you questions? It's like, you know, I can't hear everyone. That's not the case with God. And David wants us to know God wants to hear you. God wants to hear from you. But in most cases, when something happens, a failure happens along those lines, it's generally God is the last person we call on. Right? We get on Google. No. We get on Facebook. We get on Twitter. We tell the whole world, oh, woe is me, I put things on the wall and everything else. And absence of the fact, we never turn and get on God's Facebook. Or why don't we just tweet God? He will respond. David says, we need to be heard. But he also says, I want to be accepted. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have, notice what he says here, always been my helper. David reaches back in his past and has experienced things that reminds him that God has always been there for him. Isn't it amazing when we get in situations how easy it is for us to forget about the past? Remember, God came through. But when something happens, all of a sudden we have a memory lapse. David reminds us, God has always been my helper. God's never going to refuse us. But he also tells us, verse 10 is amazing. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Just like children, we need protection. And we are told that God will never forsake us. Matter of fact, if you're writing down a reference, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we're reminded that God will never abandon us. God doesn't have any orphans. God protects his children. God accepts his children. God hears his children. Don't make him the last person you need to call when you're experiencing failure or anything along those lines. God wants to hear from you. Look what it says again. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. Notice what I love this. It says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Come and talk with me. If I'm dealing with those things, what David says, you have to trust God. You have to trust God. If you're a parent or so, you know your kids trust you. When you tell them everything is going to be all right, they're not having nervous breakdowns because they believe you. As children of God, if God says, come and talk to me, that should give us an assurance of trust. Not only what happened to us in the past, because God has always been faithful. God will supply. God will hear. Do you trust me? When you read through scriptures, you see case after case after case. And David is saying, I've been in situations where it seems everything was bleak, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. No matter what you find yourself in today, whatever fear might be, God has a purpose. He wants you to know who he is. There is no difficulty, no failure, no situation that you find yourself in that God cannot intervene. The question is, do you trust me? David wants you to know, do you trust the Lord? Do you trust me? David wants us to know that God has control of the future. And the last few verses David was really focused on one thing, and that is the very presence of God. And that God is full of goodness, and he wants to give us his goodness. So David explains to us, when you're surrounded, things seem so bleak. He reminds us, in uncertain things that happen, we need direction from God. Notice what he says in verse 11. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. Why? For my enemies are waiting for me. See, David didn't have a smartphone. He didn't have the NSA snooping on everything. To me, it's kind of interesting if you think about the NSA. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 3, I believe it is, remember when I think it was Elisha's servant walked out and saw them surrounded. Elisha basically prayed to God to open his eyes. But before that, there's one verse that says, how does Elisha know what's going on in the kingdom? It says somebody's whispering something to him. See, that's before the NSA. God knew, and he was telling Elisha. But he's praying and asking for direction. Lead me. Teach me. As you're looking at your future, we sit down like all of us. We get out our planners and we plan everything else. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 16. And it talks about planning and preparing and everything else. But everything is still in God's hands. I can plan all I want. But it's God who has a different perspective. And so David is saying, when the future, I don't know it. David had no clue. Sure, Samuel came and anointed him king. But now Saul's after him. God make mistake? I can't get to the cities of refuge. I have no place to hide. Everyone that comes in contact with me and tries to help me gets annihilated. Remember the priests and the families? But David seeks direction from God. Asking God for direction helps us to avoid missteps. One step at a time. Explain to my essential class somewhere. Could you imagine if God on your smartphone showed you what was going to happen for the rest of the week? You wouldn't even leave your house. God wants us to walk by faith. Verse 12, David tells us, do not let me fall into their hands. For they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. You ever experienced that? In your office? Email flies around? Says something about you? Behind those closed doors, they have meetings and you're not there? You're wondering what are they saying? You ever have those experiences? Where an event happens and you get terminated and you wonder what happened. It's called office politics, right? Or when someone has more power than you do because they have a C or some other letter behind their name and they have more power than you. And your future is now, according to them, in their hands. They are saying things that are not true. And David tells us, they're accusing me. Every breath, when they get up in the morning, you are the first thing on their mind and they are after you. But David prays for God's protection. Deliver me. And then in verse 14, 13 and 14, he says, I need God's goodness. Notice the words that David uses. Matter of fact, he's repeated this word over and over again in this song. I am confident. You can't be fearful and not be confident. David says, I am confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord. And notice he qualifies that in the land of the living. I know I'm going to have it afterwards, but I want the goodness now while I'm breathing. He says, I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness. Now, how could David be confident of that? Get a tweet from God? Past experiences he had, things that he's gone over in his mind, what God has done for him. He realizes time, his future is in God's hands. And so is yours. So is yours. So yes, I lost my job. Yes, I lost this or I lost that. But you know what? God has your life in his hands. And David goes on to explain to us. And it's the word that every last one of us probably hates to hear. You know what it is? It's verse 14, starting out. Wait. 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 Not just wait. Notice what he said. Wait patiently. Oh, we can wait. We just don't wait patiently. Matter of fact, if God says wait, you're going to say, okay, I'll wait. Okay, God, I'm ready. And we go about and do things. And this is where the issue comes. We mess things up, not God. Because sometimes there's a little Saul in all of us, right? You remember the incident? Samuel told him, wait. And what did God say? Obedience is more important. And David says, wait patiently for the Lord. Not the IRS, not your bank, not your boss, not your parents, not your friends. Wait patiently for the Lord. You talk to yourself? I do. Sometimes the only intelligent conversation you have all day, right? You tell yourself, Rodney, wait. Wait patiently, Rodney. I'll pace in my office, close my door. My employees think I'm crazy. That's okay. I'm talking to my, wait, gotta wait. I don't want to wait. Gotta wait. And then David adds this in. Be brave, be strong, be courageous. Immediately as soon as he says, made that statement, I thought about Deuteronomy chapter 31. You remember Moses talking to Joshua? Be strong and courageous, Joshua. You're going into enemy territory. There's things that are unknowns that you are not aware of. I want to be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. The Lord talks to Joshua. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And later on down in the verses, around verse 19 or so, the leaders of the Jewish nation echo back to Joshua, be strong and courageous. David wants you to know, wait patiently, be strong and courageous. And just so you make sure that you heard me, he says, yes, that's what I said. Wait patiently for the
Lord.
David is focusing on a hope. You know, when you have hope anchored in God, you have a different perspective. There's a quote I love, you know, about from John Maxwell. He says, when you have hope in the future, you have power in the present. And David says, when your hope is anchored in the Lord, you can be confident. You can be strong. You can be courageous. When you have God, you have hope. When you have God, you have hope. And sometimes, those circumstances, those failures, whatever it might be, sort of whittles away of our makeshift security blankets till all you have is God. And you'll find out that's all you needed in the first place. So what does all this mean? David, what does this all mean? David says you can live fearlessly. Be strong in the Lord. Take heart to live for Him. By faith. Don't let those circumstances act like a domino effect in your life. With trust. No matter what the failures and things that you face, trust the Lord. And in hope, anchored in the Lord. If you have hope in the Lord, He gives you strength to be strong and courageous. And what does David tell you now? Now you know how I dealt with it. Now you know how I realized that it is about getting closer to the Lord. That no matter what circumstances I found myself in, no matter what failures I encountered, or when I felt that I was surrounded, and maybe, just maybe, Samuel was wrong when he anointed me king. Maybe that was just a fleeting dream. God knows. And now you do. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the words of David. We're just scratching the surface of this psalm. There is so much here. So much for us to realize that no matter what we're facing, circumstances, failures, an uncertain future, everything points back to the Lord. And David has so reminded us that once he grounded himself in the very presence of God, he had a different perspective. But that's because David had a personal relationship with you. And if there's someone here today, their first step is to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, then that's where they need to start. Because like David, absence of having that personal relationship with the Lord, everything is bleak. Everything is uncertain. And so I pray this morning, if there's someone here without Christ, that they will trust the Lord today. And then I pray for all others. And Lord, you know the hearts and minds of those who are here today, things that they're facing. And I pray through the words of David, help us to learn to wait patiently and to be strong and courageous, to have faith, to live and to trust, and to have hope in the Lord. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.